Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. The January commentary I'm just doing a recording. I'm not talking to you. You can go ahead and play. It's okay. Go away, Ollie. You're all wet from the snow. The January commentary on patience and self-control probably generated more emails than any other commentary I've written. Those responses were not only from individuals who work with animals a lot, who have this problem themselves, but also from those who have just noticed it in their relationships with their own animals, other animals, or just in life itself. Coincidentally, this past week, I received a book of nature photography from my friend Dave. And the title of the book is At the Pulse of Life, about nature and photography, and the author is Fritz Heutking, if I pronounced that correctly. He's a German photographer. You might not be familiar with the name, but I suspect that most of you are familiar with his works. There were two pictures that I immediately recognized because they were magazine covers and also they've been made into posters. One is a family of emperor penguins, the male and the female and the young chick between them, and another is a picture of Japanese macaques covered with snow. In addition to the gorgeous pictures themselves, the text of this book is amazing. It was written by the author. And as I was reading this, it came to me that, well, let me backtrack here to say that one of the things I have spent a lot of time thinking about over the years is how people can learn patience. How do you teach somebody patience? And particularly in today's society, and it's very, very difficult to do. But as I was reading this book, what I realized is how well taking pictures of animals can be extremely helpful in developing that skill. What I would like to share with you today are some of the quotations that the author includes in this book, because I think that they're very relevant in terms of our relationships with domestic animals and especially our own animals. For example, imagine if I gave you the assignment of sending me a photograph of your dog or your cat or some other animal that just sums up the essence of that animal for you. I imagine that were you to accept that assignment, you would probably discover that to photograph an animal means to experience it firsthand. You just can't point and shoot. Or as Michael Friedel is quoted as saying, nature photography isn't a game of roulette with which you capture the moment of moments. The more you plan, the more accurately you work, the better the results will be. And I think this is something that most people learn when they actually photograph something with the idea of really wanting to capture the essence of that subject. It's not a question of just taking thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures, one right after another, and hoping that by dumb luck you'll have the one that you want. This isn't to say that you don't take a lot of pictures to get the good one, but there's a plan. You've thought about this animal, what this animal means to you, what particular expression you want to capture. That sums that up. But as Albert Einstein pointed out, the most beautiful thing we can discover is the mysterious. And the more you look, at that generic dog and cat who you've been living with for years, the more mysteries you're going to discover. And when you pick up your camera, or even just pretend to pick up your camera and focus on that animal and what it is about that animal that makes him or her so special, you're going to have so many mysteries to solve, you'll probably ask yourself why you ever decided to start in the first place. But, as Henry David Thoreau said, you learn that if you sit down in the woods and wait, something will happen. How often does waiting, patiently, confidently waiting, giving the animal time to figure things out, work? So another exercise you can do with your real or imaginary camera is pretend you only have one shot. Are you going to learn to wait? Are you going to learn to be patient? Are you going to learn to have self-control, knowing that you only have that one? Does remind me of another legend I heard at one time, which is that there is some ancient religion, I believe it's Chinese, where people are permitted to give thanks as often as they want, but in their lifetime they're only allowed to ask for something 3 times. In spite of the fact that the religion maintains that their requests will be granted at that time, most people die without ever using them. What they discover is that each time they're tempted, they realize that, you know, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can summon the self-control or the patience. Maybe I can. Maybe I can figure this out all by myself, and I don't need to ask God for this, and so I don't want to waste this because something could come along that I couldn't handle, and I'm really going to need the help then. It's an interesting concept. Another thing to think about when you pick up your real or imaginary camera and think about photographing the essence of your animal is something said by another very famous photographer, Ansel Adams. An outstanding picture is the artful equivalent of the photographer's emotion at the moment of exposure. So it's a two-way process, just like living with an animal is. What we see that animal doing, how we interpret what that animal is doing, who and what that animal is a function of our emotion. Oh, I keep flipping pages. I have little bookmarks at the quotations that particularly appealed to me, but as I turn the pages, then I see the pictures, then I want to stop and look at the pictures again. Here's another one I thought just went so well with this month's commentary, which is all the technology in the world can't compensate for the inability to notice anything. So it doesn't matter how good the camera is. If you don't know what you're looking at, if you can't see what's there, then you're going to have problems. And another quote from Ansel Adams, nature photography is a way to say what you feel about what you see. And that's why I was thinking about photography, photographing your animals. Maybe I ought to have clients do this. Actually pick up a camera, even if it's just a disposable camera. And maybe having that limited number of shots is really a good thing. And watching, paying attention, waiting, seeing, learning. Maybe that's the very best way, or at least one of the best ways, to develop that patience and self-control. A final quote comes from Arthur Schnitzler, who I've never heard of either, who said, "To be ready is much. To be able to wait is much more. But to use the right moment is everything."
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.